Well, I'm just a devil with a love and despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Cats Report, Las Vegas Sun, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and I write for all of the titles in Greenspun Media Group. What's going on over there, Dishy?
Nothing. I do have an update, though.
And
update it kind
me.
Of comes into a little bit of what we have, what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes.
That the upfronts for ABC came out, which is basically their fall lineup. And our guest last week, Brad Garrett,
yes.
His show got picked up.
I did report this.
So that's good news.
That is very
how
good.
To live with your parents for the rest of your life with Sarah Chalk. He talked about it on last week's
mm-hmm.
episode. And he had to wait for the weekend. He
right.
was glad joking it. About it. Yeah,
he heard it Saturday. I heard from Brad Saturday thanking us for being on the show. And also that the series had been picked up by ABC. So
yeah,
you're going to see Brad Garrett on network TV. I popped out a little column note about this, I think, whatever day it was. I think he told me that day. So I think it was on Monday or Tuesday. But congrats to Brad, who never fails to light up the studio, huh?
I know. Oh, my God. It was such a fun interview. I loved having
He's
him.
He's great.
It was fun. He was very funny.
It's like, I don't know if you've ever tried water skiing.
Yes, I have.
It's like trying to interview Brad Garrett is a little like learning
yeah,
how to water ski.
Exactly. Although in my case, when I was learning how to water ski, I didn't learn let go of the rope.
Oh, you have to let go of the rope.
And so I would be dragged face first for a little bit with Wayne Newton screaming, let go of the rope! Let go of the rope!
Let go of the rope,
I've been
Dishy.
Inhaling, you know, my nose is being filled with water.
That's
so
dangerous, yeah. You can get completely full of water
So I let go of the rope with Brad Garrett.
Let go
just
of the kind rope.
Of sat back and laughed.
That was a great, I love that.
It was one of my favorite interviews. We did some back-to-back good ones with Dancing with the Stars cast.
Dancing with the Stars also was a very fun show.
It was fun. So congratulations to Brad Garrett. He kind of gave us the scoop that I didn't know that he was waiting on it. He gave us the scoop in on Friday's show, and then the next day he found out. So
yeah, sounds like a very interesting
congrats
show.
To him. And also congrats to Wayne Newton, who received a big award in Arizona over the weekend on behalf of the, I believe it was the Marines. It was a big military award, which I should probably have more things on this. But, and also we have a supporter troops group in right now in Vegas, in town.
As we speak,
and they're staying at the Venetian. And I did some work this week with the USO.
Very
from
good.
From PSAs with Wayne, who's obviously the head of the USO Celebrity Division. And so what I did not know and what I do kind of want to throw out there is that the USO here at McCarran, they have thousands of people come through every week, and they are low on volunteers.
Oh, really?
They are, especially because, they're open 24
that.
Hours.
Yeah,
and
they
so,
need a lot of staff
especially
down there.
At night.
Uh-huh.
You know, like there was one that came through, they called it something, a fleet, I want to call it, but it's not a fleet, of troops that came in on a plane, and they came in at like 5 in the morning, and they really had, you know, one person for like 250 people because they're having, you know, for the overnights.
Yeah.
They're having. So please, if you're interested in doing that, USO.org, donate Las Vegas, or else just go on down to the center there at McCarran and give your time. I know I'm going to do that. I'm going to
that's a good way to spend
I'm going to make myself
time.
A volunteer down there because, you know, it's a wonderful thing that they did and we're lucky to have.
Well, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, but it's the only one of its kind that is open around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And a great need, and it's a really cool space, and they love it. I know the servicemen and women who come through there. I've been through the airport, and I often make my way down to see what's going on in there.
Yeah.
And it's a very cool spot, and a very good effort on behalf of a lot of different interests to get that built at the airport. A lot of people, as Wayne said, when you don't care about who gets credit, a lot of things can get done, and that's one example.
Exactly, yeah, and so. Senator Reid, I'll mm-hmm. give credit to where credit's due. A lot of it was Wayne and Senator Reid.
Yep,
and
those two.
Mm-hmm. You know, that they kind of spearheaded it, and luckily everybody got behind it because there's no reason not to with the amount of troops that we have that come through here.
Exactly.
That, you know, that,
we're one of the busiest airports in the United States for everything.
And getting bigger. Mm-hmm. T3, you keep seeing this at T3, like I feel like it's a Terminator movie, our new terminal. It's going
to
be crazy.
Well, having traveled recently overseas, I can tell you that I was very happy to get back to McCarran International Airport.
That's true.
I saw
there
all
you
kinds
go.
Of
yes.
different airports. And there's a lot of way to do air, a lot of different ways to do air travel, and we do it right here.
And so, there is air conditioning in the airport.
Yeah, that's important.
Exactly.
When you're traveling abroad. Yeah.
At least you weren't in Florence in the summer like I was. That was worse.
Oh,
that was
my
worse.
God.
Now, you have done quite a few fun things.
Yeah, I have. Over the past week, I helped judge the Ultimate Elvis Tribute Contest on Fremont Street.
And they put our picture with Wayne, as a matter of fact, on Jumbotron. You sent a picture to me.
That's right. They had, as each of the judges, I was judging with a number of people, including Sam Sam Thompson, who's one of Elvis's security detail for 5 years.
Linda Thompson.
Linda Thompson's brother.
A
great guy, a great friend. Actually, the next night, Sam and I went to see Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns. We just kind of turned it into a 3-day event. Great guy, sweet man. He was one of the judges. Along with a woman who does an impression of Adele, who's going to be in a legend show in Atlantic City. But they did show us on the Viva Vision. And 21 contestants were started. And the last man standing as Elvis was Victor Trevino Jr. And he's going back to Graceland in August to take part in Memphis Week to compete for the International Elvis Tribute Artist Competition.
Where's he from?
Oh, God. I'm not sure where... I don't know where he's from. I can't say exactly. I want to say he's from Texas, but I'm not 100% sure. But I saw 21 in a row Elvis tribute artists on a week
ago. Of all various ages and sizes.
There were some good, some bad. And I actually went Simon Cowell, finally. I couldn't take it anymore.
No!
I did. And I mean, there were about 3,000 people there watching. And when you
Did you put on a British accent? When
I didn't
said
do
it?
That. Okay. And it just came out. And I to one guy who sang "Sweet Caroline" as Elvis, and he just was not up to the standard of the night. And I said, either you lost a bet, you're on a reality show, or you got lost on your way to a Neil Diamond impressions contest. And the whole crowd, I mean, it was like this wave of response. I turned to Sam Thompson and handed a mic to him, and his face was just total shock. And he grabs the mic and says, "How mean?" I'm like, "I can't take it anymore."
I love that you did that.
Everybody was on me after that. I was about halfway through.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
And we also have to send out some good luck to our Las Vegas Wranglers. We've had Billy Johnson on the show, the president.
Absolutely.
And we are big fans of the Wranglers and the Wranglers organization.
Split the first two games in Las Vegas. Billy, and they're up against it, against the Florida Everblades. They're very good. Florida is undefeated in the playoffs at home. The Wranglers will do well to get this series back. It's a best of seven games 3, 4, and 5 in Florida. Good luck, Billy, my brother.
We definitely want him to do well. And our guest today is, we have him, well, he's on our show every week, but we're never actually in the studio with him, but maybe 2-3 times a year.
Exactly.
And this, and I'm sorry, everyone, I'm going to apologize to all you Cats fans because I kind of take over interviews a little bit because I am such a geek when it comes to TVs and movies.
You are extremely well informed.
So it's like, I kind of feel like I have so much I want to talk to him about both before and after that I kind of just keep asking questions. And so I apologize
all
to all of the John Cats.
Don't need to apologize. It's a fun interview.
The Catsies, what are they called? I don't know. Let's make up a name. The Catsies. I love it.
Stay tuned for Josh Bell. We will.
Hey, what's up? It's Joey Fatone. Of course, I've been here in Vegas a lot, but now I'm here for Dancing with the Stars. But you guys should definitely listen to Cats with the Dish because they are the best. Yeah!
Welcome back. Joining us now is the city's premier film critic. He's been writing for Las Vegas Weekly for a decade now. Wow. Under the title, Josh Bell Hates Everything, but he doesn't really hate everything. He's also a weekly contributor to our show, and today he's here to talk about summer movies. Welcome to Cats with the Dish once more, Josh Bell.
Yay! I get so excited when Josh Bell comes into the theater. I do, when he comes into the studio, because I get...
Or the theater.
Because I am such a movie and TV obsessed
you
person.
You see more than anybody I know.
I feel like I
Josh.
Can talk to somebody about it. Because I'm just about the only one that's as obsessed with TVs and movies as Josh is. Only it's, you know, not my job. It's my hobby.
This is a dream job for you, kind of.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know. I think Trish maybe is as obsessed, if not more so.
Yay, thank you. Well, I take that as a compliment coming from you, Josh.
Yeah, you two come from completely different places, but wind up in the same theaters often.
So, it's summertime, and so far, we've had a couple of weeks of the summer movies. Of course, the big one being The Avengers.
Yeah, The Avengers came out a couple weeks ago, and it has really dominated the box office. I mean, it's made an insane amount of money. It's already practically it's one of the top grossing movies of all time at this point, just after 2 weeks. It opened overseas, I think, a week earlier. So after three total weeks of being out, it's already surpassed The Dark Knight, which was the top grossing superhero movie. And it's on its way even further. It made over $100 million in its second week open, which is unheard of. I don't know that that's ever happened before.
Now some of the characters, though, that didn't have spinoffs already, or that they have but done bad, Hulk, do you think that this is going to then spin off the Scarlett Johansson character movie and the Hulk movie? Like, do you think that now the ones that, obviously we've seen Captain America, we've seen Iron Man, we've seen Thor, So do you think the other characters that are sort of new are going to get their own spinoffs?
I mean, I'm sure that's what they're hoping for. At this point, they haven't announced anything official, but I'm guessing the actors are under contract for things like that. I know Samuel L. Jackson, who plays Nick Fury, signed for something like 9 movies when they signed. I mean, so that he can show up in every single movie, but that includes a solo movie for him. And yeah, I think even the Hulk, where, like you said, his own movies have been kind of shaky and haven't been huge successes. I think Marvel has said now that they might look at doing another Hulk movie, and which I think is interesting, but at the same time, one of the things I thought really worked in the Avengers is that characters like the Hulk and even Thor, which I thought his movie was not that great, worked a lot better in that ensemble setting. Mm-hmm. And so to then use that as a springboard for them to go off and be in their own movies, I don't know that those movies are necessarily going to be as strong as the Avengers movie, but they're now making an Avengers sequel, and that'll be great.
So now, do you think that like Iron Man worked so well because it was Robert Downey Jr. in the lead?
Well, I think that's a part of it. But I think also there's something about certain characters that work better in that team setting, especially if you translate from the comics to the movies. And there's certain things you can do in comics that you can't do in movies, and things that are a lot more internal. And I think that's one of the things about the Hulk as a character, is that it's a lot of it is about the sort of battle between the Hulk and Bruce Banner. And a lot of that takes place kind of in his mind, mm-hmm. which you can do on a page a lot easier than you can do on screen. But yeah, I mean, having someone like Robert Downey Jr., who's a really compelling performer, really exciting to watch, I think that helps. And Mark Ruffalo, though, came in and did a really good job, I think, as the Hulk. And I'd be skeptical, but I would certainly be curious to see a movie starring him about the Hulk. I think it could be mm-hmm. interesting.
Mm-hmm. And in week 2, it completely overshadowed, no pun intended, or maybe it was, Dark Shadows. So, is that a disappointment for Johnny Depp, that Dark Shadows, it was like not even half the dollar amount that in the second week of The Avengers in its first week of Dark Shadows. Is that a disappointment?
I mean, I'm sure it's always a disappointment when your movie doesn't make as much money as you hope for it to. I mean, I don't think it's going to have any long-term effect on Johnny Depp's career or Tim Burton, who directed it. I mean, in the last movie that they made together, Alice in Wonderland made like over $1 billion mm-hmm. worldwide, so mm-hmm. they're going to certainly still be able to work. And it's not surprising.
Still be able to work. Johnny Depp will work again.
I mean, you know, I don't think it's going to be any kind of career killer. Johnny Depp is already, he's busy shooting The Lone Ranger with Gore Verbinski, who directed the first 3 Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and I'm sure that'll be huge. But I think, unlike the last few things that they've done together, Depp and Burton, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Alice in Wonderland, which are really recognizable properties in and of themselves, Dark Shadows is something that probably most people weren't familiar with. So in the world of the blockbuster, where it's all about franchising and something that people are aware of already, it has more to overcome than The Avengers, which is full of characters that people have been watching in other movies for the last 6 or 8 years or whatever it is. So sure, I'm sure it's a disappointment. It's also not a very good movie.
Okay, well,
I was
going to
ask what you thought
support.
Of. You liked The Avengers.
I did like The Avengers, yeah. I thought The Avengers was pretty successful, and I actually liked The Avengers probably more than any of the solo movies that led up to it. But no, Dark Shadows, I think what Tim Burton does these days, and what he did with Alice in Wonderland and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as well, even though those are more successful, is he just kind of takes these existing things and he adds his little Tim Burton stamp to them. And it's always kind of the same thing, the sort of goth cute aesthetic that he's got going on. And it's a little tiresome at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's predictable how he's going to approach things. And Johnny Depp's performance is just kind of this same weirdo persona that he uses all the time. And it's not fresh anymore.
Yeah, I have to say, I didn't like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Maybe it's because I am I'm such a huge fan of the original and Gene Wilder and all of that I was really disappointed. I was very creeped out by Johnny Depp in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was probably part of the point, to have him be a little more creepy. And I thought Charlie was entertaining enough. I thought Alice in Wonderland was entertaining enough. Even Dark Shadows had some entertainment value, but I just think the excitement has really diminished, and it has become a formula thing. And I used to love Tim Burton movies. I mean, Beetlejuice and mm-hmm. his Batman, Edward Scissorhands, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, some like really great, really creative, inventive movies, and he's just kind of lost his...
He's become more formulaic over the years and derivative.
Yeah, he's derivative of himself.
Yeah,
really
he's inspired his own formula in a way. And Depp has also. I think at some point you kind of surrender your creative identity when you keep stepping into these different movies that are based on existing material.
Right.
And what do you think about Depp's career arc right now?
Yeah.
It seems like he's just cashing in every...
I think he really... And he's sort of lost the ability to play a normal human being.
Right.
Uh-huh. I mean, almost every part that he plays now is this ridiculous, exaggerated, and not even, it doesn't even necessarily have to be. If you go back and watch the original Dark Shadows TV series, Barnabas Collins is, I mean, yes, he's this immortal vampire, but he kind of acts like a normal person. He certainly doesn't have this ridiculous pancake makeup that they give Johnny Depp in the movie.
Which is also a Depp hallmark.
And, right, and I think that's sort of a crutch for him at this point, that he relies on that so much. And if you look at a movie like The Tourist, where he's supposed to play a normal human being, he really seems like he's kind of lost.
Yeah, and also, didn't he have a weird accent in The Tourist that was like kind of, it was kind of bizarre when he spoke. I remember thinking, like, is he British? Is he not British? Like, I couldn't quite figure that out. It wasn't a good movie.
No, and that wasn't a good movie for other reasons as well. But yeah, I think Depp, and it's the same thing if you look at the photos from The Lone Ranger where he's playing Tonto. It's another ridiculous makeup, and I'm sure he's going to do some sort of silly voice on it. And it's just the same thing. I think he's hugely successful, but he seems to have lost touch with how to be a person.
Mm-hmm. How to act normally.
Now, because I went to go see a smaller movie this weekend. I went to go see the Steve Harvey movie.
Oh, Think Like a Man?
Think Like a Man.
Yeah.
Which was like little entertaining. Are there any of those kind of movies that have come out that you really think have been good? That have had the kind of a sleeper, not the big blockbuster?
That have come out so far this summer?
Yeah. Is there anything you really liked?
Not on that level. I wouldn't say. I mean, they're the big movies, I think. I mean, I enjoyed Avengers, but I don't know. No, I mean, there's along the lines of that. There's What to Expect When You're Expecting, which is also based on a self-help book, is coming out this week. But no,
Is there a good buzz around that?
Yeah, you haven't screened that yet.
No, I have seen it. Yeah.
Oh, you have.
And
well,
I was not a fan.
See, I have no desire to see that.
I don't either.
Looking in the, usually comedies, rom-coms. I'm like, of course, I see anything. I'm not just. I mean, it's like you could literally throw
your life is a rom-com.
You could really throw a plate and in front of me, and I wait and watch it disintegrate, and I'll go see it. But it's, that's the kind of person I am. But it's, I have no desire to see that. It's so weird. So now let's talk about from now on. We have a lot coming out.
Yes.
We have Battleship. We have What to Expect When You're Expecting. Men in Black 3. That's all coming out yet this month.
Yeah, that's all this month. Battleship and What to Expect both open this week. And I can't recommend either of those. I've seen them both.
Well, Rihanna, with a machine gun or whatever, that was just like, seriously?
Yeah, I mean, she's not the main star of it, and she does well enough. It's really hard to gauge anyone's acting ability on a movie like Battleship, where it's really just about yelling and running around and looking at giant special effects. And I wasn't impressed with her performance, but I didn't think that she really hurt the movie in any way. Taylor Kitsch is the main star of it, who Hollywood is trying really, really hard to make a big star. I mean, he was John Carter, which was a big failure.
That was a huge failure for Disney. And he also was Friday Night Lights, correct?
Right. Friday Night. I mean, I loved him on Friday Night Lights on TV.
Did.
I don't know if he's necessarily movie star material. I think he's kind of a limited range, maybe. And on Friday Night Lights, it worked because his character was this kind of sullen, withdrawn guy. But to be the big action hero and have that charisma, I don't know if he's really got it. And I think in this movie and in John Carter, he isn't quite – he's no Shia LaBeouf. And that sounds like a really
No, Shia LaBeouf's a good actor. I mean, he's aside from, obviously Transformers and that, he's done some quality work that have nothing to do with big blockbusters.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even think Shia LaBeouf is a particularly good actor, but he has that charisma that you can watch him in Transformers and all he's doing is running and looking at the giant robots or whatever, but you still – want to watch him.
And you want to root for
him. I didn't really feel that way about Taylor Kitsch. And Battleship is sort of a poor man's Transformers, and Transformers isn't very good to begin with.
Now, do you think that Chernobyl Diaries, it's the same people that did Paranormal Activity and all of that, and I believe also they did The River, right?
Or Kelly, who was the producer.
On ABC, which I also watched. Do you think they've kind of jumped the shark? Like, it's like enough with the same formula?
I don't know. Well, I think this movie is going to be not just the found footage stuff. I think this is more of a traditional narrative. And it just looks like a standard horror movie thing people explore. I mean, it's Chernobyl in this case, which is sort of unique, but it's still just a bunch of stupid people getting killed one by one as they explore this dangerous, supernatural, whatever.
Yeah, it just looked like that shaky cam, and I get motion sick.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I can't deal with those. Now, the other one that we talked about, Men in Black 3. Now, Josh Brolin looks like he does an amazing job of The Imitation.
Of Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, I think hopefully there's more to it than that. I don't know. I'm very skeptical. This is a movie that it's been in development for years and has had all sorts of problems. They started shooting it without having finished the script. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's never a good sign.
They shut down production for months to kind of like regroup and figure things out. And supposedly there were a lot of conflicts between Will Smith and the director. I mean, just a lot of bad signs leading up to this. And I hope it's fun because I think the first two are fun. They're not necessarily masterpieces, but they're entertaining. And I hope this sort of lives up to that. But I am definitely very skeptical on that. It's been a long time since the last one, too.
Yeah.
I got to do this. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. Our guest is Josh Bell, author of Josh Bell Hates Everything on Las Vegas Weekly. You have your own website, too, right, Josh?
JoshBellHatesEverything.com.
JoshBellHatesEverything.com, appropriately enough. Tell us about Snow White and the Huntsman.
This one looks actually kind of cool.
Excited about this?
Yeah, I think so. I saw some preview footage at CinemaCon a little bit ago, and the director is a first-time director who has made a lot of commercials, and that's usually something to be a little wary of, and especially since we just had another Snow White adaptation
Mirror,
which I didn't think was very good.
No, I was a little disappointed in Mirror.
And that was more comedic, and this one looks a little more serious and action-oriented. It's got Kristen Stewart as Snow White, and Chris Hemsworth, who played Thor in The Avengers, is the Huntsman, and Charlize Theron as the Evil Queen. And it looks like it just has a very cool visual style.
Yeah.
It's definitely very dark. It's got action, but it looks like it's got a lot of creativity in the way that it's shot and the design of the characters and stuff like that. So I'm kind of optimistic for that one, actually. That's one of the movies that I'm most looking forward to, I think, this summer in terms of the big blockbusters. Ridley Scott's Prometheus is the other one, which I think opens a week later on June 8th, is probably the other big blockbustery movie that I'm most looking forward to. It also looks like it has a very cool design sense, some great actors in it, Michael Fassbender. And
I love him.
Charlize Theron again, and Nomi Rapace, who was the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
No, I actually like I guess it's Dutch or something, wasn't it, version better?
Nomi Rapace, who is in the Swedish version, she's in this in the Ridley Scott movie.
She was also in
Sherlock Holmes sequel.
Yes, she was good in that too. But now, as far as just to kind of go back to Snow White and the Huntsman, what do you think the fascination is with Snow White? I mean, now we have, obviously we have, who with the show that I like much more than you, Once Upon a Time.
Right.
And then we had Mirror, and we haven't heard from Snow White in years. And now all of a sudden she has three presents in, you know,
and I think there might actually be another movie too that's in development. I'm not sure, but I thought I remember reading about that.
Why Snow White? Why now?
I don't know. I mean, I think, one of the things, like I was saying before, Hollywood loves anything that's recognizable. And obviously fairy tales are things, stories that have been around for hundreds of years. And I don't know. I think this happens sometimes where, you know, we get two movies about volcanoes erupting, or we get two movies about asteroids headed towards Earth or something like that. And people, executives, get an idea in their head that this is the thing right now, and so they got to do it themselves.
Poor Cinderella is just getting left out in the cold. Another big one coming out, A Rock of Ages, that has, you know, Tom Cruise. It's musicals are kind of hit or miss, adaptation of musicals.
And is Tom Cruise appropriate in this role?
I don't know. Well, I mean, Tom Cruise is not the main star. I mean, I think he's being pushed because he's the biggest name, but his character, I think, is more of a supporting character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's mainly about Julianne Hough and I forget the male lead's name, Diego Boneta, who I'm not familiar with. And they're the actual main characters, who are sort of the like star-crossed lovers whose story weaves through all these supporting characters. Tom Cruise is the big rock star, and Catherine Zeta-Jones, who plays, I think, sort of like the Tipper Gore PMRC kind of character, and the whole rest of the cast. So I think if he just kind of comes in and has that charisma, and I mean, he does, certainly Tom Cruise
has. Just like in Magnolia?
That kind of charisma. In a weird way, yeah, it would
well,
be just like Magnolia.
Well, he sings in this, doesn't he?
He does sing. Yeah. He does sing. I mean, a lot of actors in this movie who are not necessarily known as singers sing. And I mean, I think that's what they do with movie musicals these days, is that they cast actors who are known for being actors who are famous, more, which they sort of place more importance on that than singing. You know, they're not going to just cast a bunch of Broadway people
that auto-tune aren't famous enough.
It's
very easy to be a good singer now without having to really be a good singer.
Right.
Tom Cruise
waited long enough, in other words.
There you go.
Make his debut.
One that women might find interesting, which I saw I was kind of excited for it, then I saw the previews and I was like, is Magic Mike. It sounds like it's going to be hokey. It's Matthew McConaughey, Channing Tatum, and the guy... Oh, gosh, Joe Magliaro, I can never pronounce his name, from True Blood, that plays Alcide the Werewolf.
Okay.
True Blood is also in it, and it's about male strippers.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think this is a weird case because, like you said, it sounds like it would be something really cheesy, Channing Tatum and Matthew McConaughey and male strippers, and it's actually based on Channing Tatum's real experiences being a male stripper before he became an actor. But it's directed by Steven Soderbergh, who I think is an amazing filmmaker, and he's done a lot of movies where you might think this subject matter is a weird idea. I mean, he just made Haywire with Gina Carano and an action movie starring an MMA a fighter who's never acted before. You think, oh, this is going to be some cheesy straight-to-video crap, and it's actually a really well-made film. So I hope he can bring something here that's unexpected and exciting and that will elevate this to more than a cheesy movie about strippers. But I don't know if even he can overcome Channing Tatum and male strippers.
Yeah, I just don't say, I mean, Channing Tatum, like, you know, I understand they came off a big hit with The Vow, but it's like I just don't look at him as like a leading man star that really gets me excited.
Yeah, I think he's really flat as an actor, but for whatever reason, again, Hollywood has decided that he's
kind of
a big deal. And so, I mean, he's in the new G.I. Joe movie as well, which I think maybe even opens the same week as Magic Mike.
Oh, really?
I mean,
oh, my God, that's so funny. Wow. Well, that's good planning. now, what are some, before, because I know we have to wrap it up soon, what are some of the non-blockbusters? I know I kind of went on this, that you are getting good buzz on. Now, I know this isn't really Oscar time, you know, obviously that comes in the fall and early winter, but are there any smaller movies coming out this summer that you might have a good buzz or maybe you've screened that may be good to see?
Well, one movie I'm looking forward to is the new Woody Allen movie, To Rome with Love, which comes out, I believe, in July in Vegas. It's kind of a limited release. And I think Woody Allen, I mean, he can be hit or miss, but he's had a lot of good stuff recently, especially the movies that he's made in Europe. And this, as the title implies, was made in Rome. I think it looks fun. It looks funny. I mean, obviously, he's always great at casting. I mean, he's in this one, and he hasn't been in one of his movies since Scoop, which was terrible. But hopefully,
everyone
this will
says
be better.
I love you. Kind of like spoiled me a little bit on Woody Allen for a little bit. But
he's done a lot of good movies since then. I mean, I think Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh wait, yeah, I forgot. I loved Vicky Cristina
and
Barcelona.
That was great. And Penelope Cruz, who was in that, is in this new movie as well. And Jesse Eisenberg and Ellen Page and Judy Davis and Alec Baldwin. I mean, a great cast. It's kind of like intersecting love stories. It's not going to be the world's most original story, but I think if he tells it well, if it's got some amusing characters and some good performances, when Woody Allen is good, I always enjoy what he does. When he's bad, it can be really bad.
Yeah, like Julia Roberts singing.
Yes, but hopefully this will not be on the level of that or Scoop, for example, which I think was his last really, really terrible movie. So that I'm looking forward to. I've always been a Woody Allen fan. I'll be excited to see it even if it turns out to be bad.
All right. Well, we have to close shop.
I could talk to Josh for like 5 hours. I'm always so
you
loved
have,
when he comes
yeah,
back.
You guys talk before the show, during the show, and after the show, and it's good stuff all the way through. Josh, thanks again for coming down here.
Thanks for having
me. Josh Bell of Josh Bell Hates Everything. That's his website, and he writes regularly in Las Vegas Weekly, and he has been doing that since 2002. Thanks for coming down. We'll have you in again.
Yes, look forward to it.